Welcome back to Yeah, That's a Pepper Thing. First up, we've got Harrison wrapping his Dr. Pepper in a tiny quilt so it feels at home. Oh, how tender. That's a Pepper Thing! And over to Becca, who's whispering affirmations to her can.
You're sweet. You're unique. You're the best thing I ever poured over ice.
She swears it makes it taste better. It's not a science thing, but it's a Pepper Thing! Why do they all do it? All for that sweet, delicious, truly one-of-a-kind taste of Dr. Pepper. It's a Pepper Thing!
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Timber Living Log Cabins.
Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
Now, as hopes of a breakthrough in Ukraine faded once again, that U.S. brokered three-day ceasefire between Russia and Ukraine ended, with both sides anyway accusing each other of repeated violations. Civilians once again paid the price as attacks resumed across Kharkiv and Kherson, and as you may have heard earlier on the news, Kyiv this morning. Where does it leave diplomacy, Europe's growing military support, Kyiv, and wider geopolitical fallout? Well, Emmanuel Chaz is Ukraine correspondent for France 24. Emmanuel, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat.
It's good to talk to you again. Emmanuel, can you bring us up to speed on what happened in Kyiv this morning? What are you hearing?
You know that this week has been really hard for the Ukrainian capital. It has been targeted by Russian strikes shortly after the end of the very short-lived ceasefire that was brokered last weekend. And there was a day of mourning in Kyiv yesterday for the 24 people, including three children, who died during the Russian strikes. That's so 1,500, a little bit more than 1,500 drones and 56 missiles thrown at Ukraine within 24 hours. And those renewed strikes, you know, it happens nearly every night, although the intensity of strikes is changing from one strike to another. Those renewed strikes really show that there is no real will from Moscow's part to prolong any ceasefire, and that Moscow continues to bomb civilian infrastructure and also civilians, and, you know, when it bombs residential buildings, for example.
Now, President Zelensky has said that the actions of Russia are not the actions of a country that believes the war is coming to an end, because that's what Putin said last week, that he believed the war was coming to an end. Clearly, that was simply a ruse to maybe lull people into a false sense of security.
It definitely is felt by Ukrainians as a ruse and as empty words, but you know Ukrainians pay very little attention to what Vladimir Putin says in terms of peace, because actions speak louder than words. Also here in Ukraine, we see those strikes are continuing. And also, Ukraine is also striking Russia, but in a different manner. There's a fundamental difference in the Ukrainian strikes in that military infrastructure, strategic infrastructure, infrastructure such as refineries, oil refineries, which help Russia to finance its war efforts. So there's a fundamental difference in those strikes, which are in defense of the illegal war launched by Russia against Ukraine, and the indiscriminate strikes that Russia launches daily on the Ukrainian population.
Now, Ukraine on Friday struck an oil refinery and an apartment complex in a place called Ryazan, which is about 130 miles south of Moscow. Do we know whether or not that strike on the oil refinery was effective? Because it's a refinery that supplies much of Moscow.
So first off, the strike on the residential building is the result of air defense, of Russian air defense. It was not a targeted strike on a residential building. This is not what Ukraine does. Even if Volodymyr Zelensky had said that the strike on Kyiv residential buildings would have a response, this is not a response in kind. The response would be defense strikes on all refineries. And of course, there's deep strikes by Ukraine. They do have an effect. There's like most refineries in Russia have been impacted, have been not necessarily fully destroyed, but in any case damaged, sometimes greatly. And that hinders the economic capacity of Russia. And this is why Kyiv continues such strikes. And, it's been a few weeks, few months even, that those strikes have increased in intensity, in frequency, as well as Ukraine has developed its own missiles, its own long-range weapons, its own attack drones. And so far, Ukraine does have the upper hand in those strikes as well as on the front line.
Now, the diplomatic effort seems to have been paused for the moment. Do we know, is anything going on that front?
So when it comes to a prospects of peace or a ceasefire, there's not a lot of hope because talks have been stalling for quite a while. However, and I'm, for example, talking about what happened yesterday, there's been a prisoners exchange, seeing 205 Ukrainian prisoners of war coming back from Russian captivity, where, you know, we've talked about it before, they are subjected to systematic torture, they are deprived of elementary human rights, and 205 Russian prisoners of war were sent back to Russia. It is important to highlight those exchanges. There's roughly one exchange every month since the beginning of the full-scale invasion, because it is the only channel of diplomacy, of humanitarian discussion that is still being open between Moscow and Kiev. So that's a progress. And also yesterday, there's those 36 countries which have backed the creation of a special tribunal for prosecuting the crime of aggression and holding responsibles for the crime of aggression, that is Russia's illegal war against Ukraine, in front of an international tribunal on the model of the Nuremberg trial after World War II. So those are the progresses we're seeing. But in terms of ceasefire or peace talks, there's nothing new.
Now, we are all astonished at the resilience of Ukraine and its people. The war has been going on for so long now, far longer than anybody really expected. How is Ukraine managing to survive as its infrastructure is targeted again and again and again? The power network, the grid has to be repaired again and again and again. How is Ukraine coping?
Well, Ukraine is coping because it has no choice. And, of course, we can admire the fact that there is a resilience, but also it's not really, it's about survival. It's about survival. It's not about being specifically brave, specifically, willing to do something extraordinary. It is civilians who are trying to just survive. And they have this one life. They have their flats, under the daily threat of being bombed with shahids, with missiles. They are trying to essentially survive, and there's definitely a fatigue from the Ukrainian population for being called resilient, because they would very much like to live in peace.
Now, the old saying that the enemy of my enemy is my friend, this doesn't seem to work in the case of Iran, Russia, the United States and Ukraine, because you'd imagine the United States, being the enemy of Iran, should also be the enemy of those people helping Iran, which would include Russia. And yet it's Trump's indifference to Ukraine, which is, I suppose, most concerning.
Well, it is concerning. And of course, the dynamics that we see in, for example, the U.S. government, the Iranian government towards Ukraine are definitely a point of worry for the Ukrainian government. However, Ukrainians and the government are actually making a difference between the support they get from the people and the support and diplomatic response they get from governments. And there's really that difference being made also when it comes to, for example, the U.S. support to Ukraine. It's still, there's still a very strong support among the U.S. population, even if, of course, the relationship between Kyiv and Washington has been deeply, affected and deeply changed since the mandate of Donald Trump started. And it's the same for Iran. A lot of Ukrainians also do understand that the Iranian regime is oppressing the Iranian population, even if, of course, Iran is not a friend when it comes to government to Ukraine. And the Shahed drones that we are getting here by the hundreds every night are of Iranian technology made, but there's a difference between governments and populations.
Emmanuel Chaz, who is the Ukraine correspondent for France 24. Emmanuel, thank you very much once again for joining us on the program.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Timber Living Log Cabins.